We're doing Judaism 101, and as per your request, we switched the class into lecture form, as opposed to you guys working together, and I'm waiting for you to change your minds. But for now, as per your request, we will move forward in this format. We discussed Friday night, Kiddush, lighting candles, singing Eish Yischaiel, Shalom Aleichem, blessing the children. And now we're up to the blessing of Hamotzi. And we will try to cover the laws of the blessing of Hamotzi as they pertain to the weekdays and as they pertain to Shabbos. As with all blessings, when we make the blessing of Hamotzi, we're supposed to have the food item in our hand ready to be consumed. So let's say we just give out candies, right? So every person made a blessing. You're supposed to hold it in your right hand if you're a righty, left hand if you're a lefty, right hand if you're a lefty but you're a Sephardi. Sephardim can go according to Kabbalah, and according to Kabbalah, you're always supposed to hold it in your right hand. But for most of us, unless you're one of those Sephardim that go with Kabbalah, we're going to say that you hold the item in your dominant hand, and you have to hold it ready to be eaten. And you're not supposed to be doing something else while you make a blessing. So when you got the candies, what you should have done is take them out of the wrapper, hold them in your right hand, and then make the blessing, Shakol Nia Bidvaro, and then put it in your mouth. We do the same thing with tefillin, let's say, not only on blessings of food, but also blessings on mitzvot. We make them directly prior to the performance of the mitzvah. That's called making the blessing Over La'asiyatan, directly prior to the performance of the mitzvah. So when we make the blessing on the tefillin in the morning, we don't make the blessing when the tefillin is still in the case, nor when the tefillin is just out of the case, but rather we place the tefillin in their proper place on the hand, and just prior to tightening the tefillin on our arm, when the tefillin are in place and ready to be tightened, we make the blessing laniach tefillin, and then we tighten the tefillin and wrap it around our hand. So with the bread, really what we should do is slice a piece of bread and then make the blessing amotzi lechem min haaretz. But we cannot do that because we try to make the blessing on something that is more chashuv, something that is considered more important, and we value a whole loaf more than a slice of bread. And because we want to make the blessing on a whole loaf of bread, so we cannot slice the bread and then make the blessing. On the other hand, we try to minimize the pause that's going to ensue following our blessing prior to our eating, right? If I have this loaf of whole wheat bread that's rough, and I'm going to make the blessing Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, and then I'm going to take my saw and start cutting it and cutting it and cutting it until I get that slice. So it might take a while. So our bread today is softer. But those of you who remember the good old days back in Russia or back in Europe 150 years ago, so the bread wasn't so easy to cut. So our sages instituted that we compromise. We want the loaf to be whole, but we also want it to take less time slicing the bread after the blessing. We want it to be more accessible. So our sages instituted that before we make the blessing of Hamotzi, we slice a little bit into the bread, and then we don't slice enough that the slice should come off. It has to still be a whole loaf of bread. So long as I could pick up both sides and the whole loaf comes up without breaking off, that's considered that it's a whole loaf of bread. And then after we've done that slicing, we make the blessing of Hamotzi. Now, on Shabbos, the bread corresponds to the man that fell on Shabbos. We know that on Shabbos we got a double portion of man. On Friday we got a double portion of man for Shabbos. So we got double, two times the usual. And so our sages instituted that in the three meals of Shabbos we commemorate this double portion, and the same thing on the two meals of Yom Tov, every Yom Tov night and day, we commemorate this miracle, and we make the blessing of Hamotzi on two loaves of bread. That's why they're called Lechem Mishneh. The Torah says that the man will come down Lechem Mishneh Ala Shayiv Ketu Yom Yom. They'll get double bread, the Torah says, double what they're used to every day. So that's why on Shabbos we make Hamotzi on Lechem Mishneh, using the words of the verse, on double bread. We also commemorate the idea of the man, that the man fell down with a layer of dew beneath it and a layer of dew on top of it. We commemorate that by having some kind of either a napkin or a board under the two challahs, and a napkin over the two challahs. A napkin or a challah tishtach, today they have these nice pieces of material. Whatever it is, the idea is there should be something beneath and something on top commemorating the man. Let's say when you guys are, let's say you're visiting your family or you're on a trip somewhere and you're there for Shabbos, So you're not going to carry a challah board with you and a challah cover with you. But what you could do is just take a napkin or a plate and put it under the two challahs, and another napkin or plate and put it over the two challahs, and you've fulfilled this custom. Now this is only on Shabbos. On a weekday there's no inyan. You don't have to cover the challah. So we hold the challah in our hand. We said on a weekday we slice a little bit into the challah. On Shabbos it is customary not to make that little bit of a cut. And we make the blessing of Amotzi. Now when we make the blessing of Amotzi, we are supposed to have our 10 fingers on the bread. Our 10 fingers correspond to the 10 mitzvot of bread. Our sages enumerated 10 mitzvot that one performs in preparation of bread. It begins with plowing the field, that we have the mitzvah of not plowing with two different species. A donkey and an ox shouldn't plow together. That's kilayim. And it continues to the planting, where we're not supposed to plant two different species together. That's kilayim in the planting. And then when we thresh the wheat, so we have a mitzvah, lo tachsom shor b'disho, don't put a muzzle on the animal as it's threshing. And then we have the mitzvahs when we harvest, the 3 mitzvahs, leket shekhol peah, of leaving the portions for the poor. And then we have truma, ma'aser rishon, ma'aser sheni, and the mitzvah finally of giving challah, giving off a portion to the kohen after we've mixed the flour with water. So these are the 10 mitzvot that have to do with bread. And then our sages said the blessing of bread has 10 words in it, and potech et yadecha, the verse that refers to God's giving us all sustenance, that also has 10 words in it. And our sages made many correspondences. They said bottom line, have your 10 fingers on that loaf of bread when you make the blessing of Amotzi. Now here there are two different customs on Shabbos. We're switching back to Shabbos. In Shulchan Aruch it says, when you make the blessing on the challah, so you hold the challah and you leave the cover on top when you make the blessing. That commemorates the mun, that the mun had a top cover. The Yekis have the custom that they take off the cover and they make the blessing of Amotzi. Ah, you'll say, but it contradicts the Shulchan Aruch. I'll say, you're right, but that's the custom. So that's the Yekish custom. This is what it says in Shulchan Aruch. If you have no custom, so do what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Make the blessing with the cover on top. So we put our hands on the challah and we make the blessing. Now, in ancient times, they used to have really plain bread. Our bread, if you ever look at the ingredients, has about 50 ingredients. There are all kinds of preservatives and flavorings and salt and sugar and a bunch of things in our bread. But once upon a time, they used to have really plain bread. And then our sages said, when you make a blessing on bread, you should try to dip it in salt or hummus or some kind of flavoring. Our bread doesn't need any flavoring because they add all the flavors into the loaf of bread. But nonetheless, our sages said that there is an inyan, there is a point to having salt on the table for two reasons. One, the Gemara tells us that in the time of the temple, we would bring a sacrifice on the altar, and that would atone for our sins. How do we get atonement today? So our sages said, the table you eat on is instead of the altar. Why is it instead of the altar? Because when you're eating on your table, hopefully you're having guests, and you're asking guys in the machon, hey, you know, I know you missed supper tonight, why don't you come to my house, have something to eat, assuming your wife, you asked your wife permission. So you're giving other people to eat. So the table is a source of atonement, because the table is a source of chesed. You're supposed to have guests around your table when you can. So that's why the table is a source of atonement. And just like on the altar, we would not bring anything without salt. So to commemorate this concept, we also try to have salt on the table, even if we don't need it for our challah. Let's say, so you'll see, your kids might go through a stage where they love salt. They fight over how much you dip their challah in salt. And they might go through a stage where they say, I don't want any salt. It's disgusting. It's bitter. I don't want it. The first stage is probably real, and the second stage might be real. It might just be a way of protesting you. That's fine. But halachically, they don't need to have their challah dipped in salt. It is customary to dip the challah in salt, but our challah has enough flavorings that it doesn't need it. But we should have salt on the table, number one, because our table corresponds to the altar. And number two, there's a medrash that says that after we wash our hands, before we make hamotzi, so we're all sitting there quietly around the table waiting for the blessing. So here we have a few seconds where we're not busy with any mitzvot, because we're just sitting quietly, we're waiting. So our sages told us that that's when the Satan steps up to bat and says, God, look, take a look. Look at your kids, they're sitting there, look what good for nothings they are. They're sitting doing nothing, just sitting there quietly. So our sages say that the salt stands up to protect us. The salt says, God, I'm here. You made a pact with them. You love them just like salt never turns bad. Your treaty with them never turns bad. And that the salt steps up to bat for us. So because of this medrash, one is supposed to try to have salt on the table, even if one doesn't need it for the amotzi. Because of these two reasons, it is customary to always have salt on the table. And that is why, even between Rosh Hashanah and Hoshana Rabbah, where some have the custom to dip the challah only in honey, So there's good reason to also have salt on the table. So don't dip your challah in the salt. The Hasidim are very careful about this. They say you want to have a sweet year or a salty year. So if you want a sweet year, the only way you'll get it is if you dip in the honey. You know, so Hasidim are very careful about that. But even Hasidim should probably have salt on the table to fulfill these two. Yeah.
Just a quick question. Didn't mean to go back so far, but is it also the Yadecha? Is that only on Shabbat or during the week as well?
So the Sephardim have the custom to say it. The Ashkenazim do not. I think the Sephardim say it on weekdays too, but I'm not sure.
When?
I don't remember. Before the blessing. I don't know. The Gemara says that when you cut the bread, you should cut it where it bakes well. And there are two different understandings as to which side bakes first, the top or the bottom. So we don't know which side bakes first. And that's why it is preferable, to satisfy both opinions, to start cutting from the side. If you cut on the side, then you're cutting both sides. You know, there's one opinion that says the mezuzah should go straight. And one opinion says it should go lying down. One says it should go vertical. And one says it should go horizontal. So we satisfy both, as Ashkenazim. We put it on a tilt. So this is the same concept. To satisfy both opinions, we slice the challah on its side. Now, when we slice the challah, so a person is always supposed to behave with manners. Sages say, if you're going to sit down to eat challah and you slice off half a challah, sit down and start eating it, you look like a glutton. It's not the way a person is supposed to behave. You're supposed to slice off a normal slice. What's a normal slice? The sages said, up to the volume of an egg. Now, what's the minimum you could give a guest? Not less than the volume of an olive. Less than the volume of an olive, I'll look at you like, you skimp, this is all you're giving me. So, even if it's your wife or your children, a person is supposed to give more than the volume of an egg, and up to the volume of, more than the volume of an olive, and up to the volume of an egg. Now, this basically means you should slice normal size slices. Now, the only problem is that the custom is, and the halacha says, that ideally, everyone present at the table, their first bite should be from a slice that comes from your slice. Meaning, you first slice off a big piece for yourself, and you cut your piece into pieces, and you give everyone else from your piece. So imagine my Shabbos table, Baruch Hashem, sometimes we have 12 guests sitting around the table. You have 12 people, a whole challah basically can be cut up for 12 people. So some people, what they do is they cut off a little piece off the edge and they say, the rest is my piece. They don't say it. They think, the rest is my piece, and then they cut it. I'm still trying to work that out. I've never seen anyone fulfill this halacha really, but the idea is that every person is supposed to get a nice size slice. On Shabbos, we're supposed to get a large enough portion that should suffice us throughout the meal. But for most people, that's a pretty big slice. If you have a lot of guests around the table, that's not feasible. So at least what you should do is cut yourself a big enough slice so you can cut everyone else a decent sized piece from your own slice. And then you'll cut the rest of the challahs. They'll get more from the other challahs. The head of the house makes the blessing for everyone present, and they should have intent that his blessing is for them. And he should have intent that his blessing is for them. Yes?
Why is the head of the house or the one who makes the blessing? First takes the bread himself and then gives it to the other one.
We'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Yeah?
What about ripping the bread? What about ripping the bread instead of cutting it?
So some Sephardim have the custom of ripping the bread. I don't know if that's their custom. That's their custom. I haven't yet seen it written anywhere. But my friends always told me that's a Sephardi custom. So I've heard it often enough. I assume it's true. There's also a Chabad custom to throw the bread. Now, Halacha says you're not supposed to throw the bread. It's desecration of the mitzvah. On Shabbos, you have a mitzvah to eat the bread. You go to a Chabad house, you'll suddenly see them throw the bread to everyone. Throw it. And they tell me, I was told by the Chabad friend of mine, that this minhag comes from commemorating the man. Just like the man fell down from heaven, so too the bread is supposed to fall down to each of the recipients. If this is your minhag, so this is your minhag. I don't change from your minhag. But if this isn't your minhag, so then don't adopt it.
No. I never cursed such a minhag. I live in Brooklyn and I go
to Chabad
but I never cursed.
Okay.
Even in the internet, I never.
Okay. Now, really, the head of the house doesn't have to ask anyone's permission for making the blessing. He's the host. He could make the blessing on the bread. But out of modesty, so the custom is that before making the blessing, he says, "Birshut moray v'rabatai," with the permission of my masters and teachers. He's asking everyone permission for representing them in the blessing. And this also helps so that you focus. Sometimes you're in the middle of sitting a kid down, you're in the middle of getting your own place, and suddenly he's in the middle of the blessing. If you're supposed to have in mind that that blessing is for you, it's a bit of a problem if he doesn't give you forewarning. So the proper thing is that before we make the blessing, we call everyone to attention and we say, "Birshut moray v'rabotai," with your permission. You'll notice sometimes if I have guests who are newcomers to the machon and they don't begin to understand what I'm saying, if I say "Birshut moray v'rabotai," that I'll say it in English. I'll say, "With your permission, I'm going to make this blessing on behalf of everyone," because otherwise they don't understand. They don't know what I'm talking about. So ideally, we should not change from tradition. We should say it in Hebrew the way everyone always does. But if it's necessary, you have a guest who won't know that you're making the blessing for him. A guy just showed up to machon here. This is his first Shabbos meal. He doesn't begin to know what a blessing is. So you have to tell him, "I'm going to make a blessing on the bread, and it is for everyone." So I try to say it before we wash our hands. I try to explain, "You should know that we will make a blessing on the bread, and I will make the blessing, and it's on behalf of everyone." And once you make the blessing on the bread, that sort of incorporates everything else in the meal as well, because everything else is considered adjuncts to the bread. So I explain this to the guests. But very often they don't understand me the first time, and maybe they understand me the second time. Very often not that either. But at least we try. The listeners, the guests, the people around the table, people of the family, after they hear the blessing, should say amen. And as we know, when we say amen, we do not say it before the person finishes the bracha. Let's think of an example. Tomorrow morning is Rosh Chodesh. The chazan is going to end Shmona Esrei and say, "Hamvarech es amo Yisrael b'shalom." Ah. How many people wait for him to end the word shalom? As he's saying, "B'shalom." Everyone's saying, "Amen." That's wrong. You got to answer. I mean, after he concludes the blessing. And the same thing is true with any blessing on a mitzvah or any blessing on food. And certainly here, the blessing on the bread he is making on behalf of everyone. So we answer, "Amen," which means I agree. And it's important to know that amen is considered a continuation of the blessing. So just like the listeners should have in mind that the blessing is on their behalf and then answer amen, the one who is making the blessing has to listen to them say amen and have in mind that their amen is on his behalf. And they should have in mind also that they're saying amen on his behalf as well. It's considered like a continuation of the blessing. Yes?
So if that's the case, though, then it's considered a continuation of the blessing. During the Shema, they consider it an interruption to the blessing.
Oh, so that it's a good question. We have to wait for that and discuss that when we do the blessings of Shema. Bizarchem, we'll get to that. Now, because the Amen is considered a continuation of the blessing, the host shouldn't start slicing the bread till everyone finished saying Amen. They finish saying Amen, and the host should right away slice the bread. And we're not supposed to talk between the blessing and swallowing the first bite. The host starts slicing the bread. Now, ordinarily we say, "En ma'avirin ala mitzvot." We don't pass up an opportunity to perform a mitzvah. So if the host started slicing the bread, he has a slice in his hand, he should take a bite before he continues slicing for everyone else. The host might want to be polite and give everyone else pieces before he takes his own. But the halacha says that if everyone else is getting a piece from the host, derech eretz, we say that good manners requires that the guests wait for him to take the first bite, even if he gives everyone else a piece of bread. So in essence, by giving everyone a piece of bread first, he's being nice to them, but they're still not going to be able to eat till he takes his bite. So it would be nicer of him if he took his bite and then gave out the bread, because then each person who gets the bread could take their bite. When I have guests in my house, very often I know the guests don't know this halacha. And just like someone pointed out a few minutes ago, why does the host always take the first bite? It seems very not nice of him. So that's why when I have guests, I will not take the first bite. I will give everyone their piece first, and only then I'll take the bite. Because people are new to Machon Meir, they haven't learned these halachot, and they're looking at the host and they're thinking, "Ah, oh, he thinks of himself first, he's taking the first bite." So in order to preclude that thought, whenever I have guys from Machon Meir, I try to give them the slices first, and only then I'll take the slice. But in truth, if not for any other overriding reason, the host can and probably should, unless he doesn't want to, he should take the first bite. Now what happens, like here at Machon Meir, why not? They're not going to be able to eat before you anyways. So why not? Why delay everyone else? Why delay them? Why delay you? You made a blessing. What?
Because of the blessing?
You made a blessing. Now you could give them the slices first. If for whatever reason you feel it's better, do that. But you could also take it yourself. So if there's no other reason to give them first, so you might as well take yourself first. If you feel like I feel, that your guests won't understand why you're taking first, so give them first. Now, in general, you guys, I want to take a second here to discuss something else. There are two ways to participate in the meal. And this doesn't have to do with halacha. This has to do with normal manners. We could sit at a meal and eat like civilized people, and each person takes a little bit and passes it on to someone else. Or we could sit at a meal and it's a contest. It's a fend for yourself. Unfortunately, usually when guys come to my house for a Shabbos meal, I feel like the guys are so hungry, I'm like in a soup kitchen. Everyone's fending for themselves, and fending for themselves to a degree that I don't feel comfortable eating. If guys are so hungry, I mean, I understand that's what happens here. But I think that if guys are coming to someone's house, then proper manners is that you should, if you're that hungry, buy yourself a loaf of bread Friday and eat it on Friday. You come to the table, and we've gotten this comment from other hosts, it's not just me, that they sit at the Shabbos table and they feel like there's this contest, who's going to get more. Usually you see how much food there is at the table, take a fair portion. It's not right that we bring out food and after three people take, I see there isn't going to be enough for the rest of the people at the table. Everyone sees how much there is. You see what there is, you see how many people there are, and there's a fair amount that's fair to take. I remember distinctly that when I was in yeshiva, I always had the feeling that I walked away from being a guest hungry. I agree with you that many people here give portions that are much smaller than in the States. I remember I was a guest by a friend of mine, and we're sitting at the table, and they take out this little metal dish with salad, and they place it near me. So I figure that's the amount I was used to getting myself at home. But it was in a dish that seemed like a serving dish, that seemed a little strange. So I figured maybe that's what they're going to serve everyone. So I decided I'm going to sit and wait patiently and see what happens. So I'm waiting, and the host tells me, no, take and pass on. So I understood. So I took like three little pieces of salad and passed on the bowl to the next guy. But you understand. If you see that's what's being served, so you understand. I always would buy either ragalach or a loaf of bread or something, because I knew I would come home from the meals when I was a guest, I'd be hungry. I hope guys, there's no reason I think guys should come from my house that way. We know how many guests we have usually. Then again, if 15 guys call Friday afternoon 2 hours before Shabbos, so there's going to be a little bit of a shortage of food, and that happens often. But okay, you have to understand, we're a family of a few people, two adults and three kids. That means we're making for three people. If five people call me on Friday afternoon that they want to come for the meal, so three people can't become a meal for eight people. Even if you cook for two extra people, at some point there's going to be less for each person, and I don't mind. I'm not trying to discourage people from calling, but if you're sitting at the table and you see how much food there is, then and there's no reason that everyone should be fighting for a fend for themselves. And more often than not, there's more than enough food for everyone, and it's just bad manners that people sit at the table and end up feeling there isn't enough for everyone. Another point, for those of you, Baruch Hashem, who will hopefully be married, and those of you who will be married a little bit later, I hope you will have guests. It's nice that you take from the food that's being served and place for your wife. Usually what happens, the woman's in the kitchen, and everyone else takes the portion that looks good to them, and by the time she comes out, she's lucky if she has leftovers. That's not so nice. It's not right. She did all the work. So you, the husband of the house, if you don't want to take first, which you're entitled to take first if you want, if you're not going to take first, at least serve your wife first. She should get the best portion. There's no reason she should get leftovers. And when we're guests at someone's house, so we should also bear this in mind, that the woman in the house didn't get yet. Maybe there's someone else who didn't get yet. let's go easy on the food. I said what I think needs to be said on this point, and I'm sorry if I've said it bluntly, but I don't know of any other way to say it, because the facts are blunt, so I guess they have to be said bluntly.
Apologies.
Yes.
I never learned food that I was on Israel until after we have our table
hungry. Oh, I'm happy to hear that. Okay, good.
Actually, there was one time... Last Shabbat on Friday night. I didn't even see any meat, just a few pieces of fish, and the entire thing was vegetarian. And
okay.
I hate vegetarian tables.
Now, what happens in a situation like here at Machon Meir, that each person has his own role. So, if each person has his own role, let's say you're a guest at someone's house, and each person has their own roll of bread, their own challah roll or their own whole roll. So if you have a slice of bread, that doesn't help you, because we said the blessing of a motzi should preferably be on something whole. But let's say on something whole. But if you have a whole roll before you, so you can make the motzi on your own roll. You could eat before the host. It's not so polite. But halachically, you don't have to wait for him to eat. Now, on Shabbos, you need to have two rolls. So if you come to, let's say, a Sheva Brachos, and everyone's waiting for the Chasm. So if everyone's waiting, don't you be the smart aleck that goes ahead and makes your own blessing. But if you see that people are starting to eat, so then you can also start to eat, provided that every person has their own roll. Just ensure that you take two rolls, take yours, and ask someone else for theirs, and then put them under a napkin, the way challah should be on Shabbos, with a napkin underneath and a napkin on top, and then you make the blessing of a motzi. Now, customarily, a person, when he was in mourning, was given the bread directly into his hand. Teresah Tzion v'yadea, the verse says in Eicha, in Lamentations, Zion extended her hand, our sages say it means she extended her hand like a person in mourning, that you put the bread directly into his hand. So, following this custom, we do not place bread directly into someone's hand. If you're the owner, you're the host, or you're the guest, so we pass the bread with a plate on it, or we put it down on the table before the person. Because this was customarily done for a person in mourning, we consider it bad portent to do it to someone who is not in mourning. So we place it on a plate, and we pass it to each person. Ideally, we should ensure that we eat a kebetza, the volume of an egg of the bread, because we make the blessing al netilas yadayim, and the blessing of al netilas yadayim can only be made when one is going to eat the volume of an egg of bread. So, in order to ensure that we don't forget or get too full, it is good advice that right away when you make a motzi, you should eat the first slice should be the volume of an egg. Take your slice and eat it then. And then later you'll eat more challah, you won't. But if you're going to take a little piece of challah and grab the egg salad and grab the fish, grab everything else, and then later on you'll take another small piece of challah, if you won't eat the volume of an egg within four minutes, then in essence you didn't need to make the blessing of Al Netilas Yadayim. You have to wash your hands before you eat bread, but you can only make the blessing of Al Netilas Yadayim if you're going to eat the volume of an egg in one sitting, meaning in under 4 minutes. So in order to ensure you don't forget, it is good custom to get used to eating right away the volume of an egg of bread, a kebetza of bread, and only that continue with the other eating of the meal. Yes?
In the case that you didn't have enough bread, could the blessing itself be reverted possibly to say like that of the blessing of the morning or, you know,
I don't know. Okay, any questions? So let's just recap what we said today. We said that when we make the blessing of Amotzi, we should hold the bread in our hand. We put all 10 fingers on the bread because they correspond to the 10 mitzvot of the bread. We prefer to make a blessing of Amotzi on a whole loaf or a roll rather than a slice whenever we can. We try to ensure that there's salt on the table at the time of the blessing, and we gave 2 reasons. Either because the table corresponds to the altar, that it gives us atonement when we have guests at the table, or the salt protects us spiritually when we are sitting there silent and the Satan tries to persecute us in heaven. Nowadays there are saltless flavorings. We don't need to dip it in salt because of that reason, but if one were ever to get plain bread, then one also should dip it in salt or something else just so that the bread is more tasty. We said we cut the bread on its side to satisfy the two opinions as to whether it should be cut on top or bottom. We said that before making the blessing, we cut a little bit into the bread so as to shorten the gap, the pause that will ensue after we make the blessing before we complete the cutting. We said that we should only cut a little bit so that the bread should remain whole, and that means that you could pick it up from either side and it will remain whole. On Shabbos, some have the custom to cut a little bit, most have the custom not to cut at all. We said that when you cut, your slice shouldn't be larger than the volume of an egg, because then one would seem like a glutton. The only exceptions would be if you're going to have to give everyone else from your own piece, and everyone else is supposed to get a nice size piece, so then your first piece has to be pretty big in order to cut off portions for everyone from that piece. And on Shabbos, when we're supposed to take large portions to show our fondness for Shabbos. The head of the house makes the blessing for everyone present, and he should have intent for them, and they should have intent that the blessing is for them. Before he makes the blessing, he asks their permission, Birshut Morai V'Rabotai, with the permission of my masters, my teachers, and this is an act of modesty, even though he is the host. They should answer Amen, and he has in mind that their Amen is on his behalf. After they conclude the Amen, the host can cut the challah. Directly following the blessing, one should eat. We shouldn't talk in between the blessing and swallowing the first bite. We said ideally we should eat right away after the blessing the volume of an egg. And the participants should wait till the host takes the first bite of the bread. We said if each participant has their own role, or on Shabbos each one has to have their own two roles, then they don't halachically have to wait for the host, but they have to see what everyone else is doing, so they shouldn't be impolite. We said when the host gives out the bread, he should place it before each person or pass it on a plate, but not give it directly into the hand, because that is the way we do for people in mourning. We place the bread directly in their hand.